WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
sick. And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It is a Thursday night, and if you build it, they will come. Which is what they did in Iowa. Because that's where the Phillies and the Twins are playing today. It's a Field of Dreams game on Netflix.
Ooh.
You tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Record Show, at Lids Award, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RecordRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us live here tonight on the program. But yes, they came through the corn and everything.
That's a bit much.
Well, they had all the players come through the corn, and they had the legends walk through the corn. And it was all big to do. It's cool looking. It's a cool visual. Raleigh Fingers, who was known for like the curly mustache, still keeping it up even though it's very gray. Still has that nice curl to it.
Good for him.
I don't know. At this stage in life. I mean, that takes commitment to keep it up. Probably, I think he's probably... Let's do a live Google search on how old Raleigh Fingers is. He's probably... Yeah, he's 79 years old. He's 79. And he still got the curls up with the mustache and everything. It's pretty damn impressive for keeping it up all those years. You would think after some point he would have given it up. But nope. Still a thing.
Look, when you have a thing, you have a thing, and it's what you're known for, and it's what you just do, okay?
It is what you're known for. It's your trademark. I guess you can't really get rid of it. Like, it was Hogan. He could never get rid of the stash. He grew the beard, but never could get rid of the stash, brother. As much as he probably tried.
I'm gonna be honest. I think I remember him without the stash, like, like young pictures, he would look weird.
Like he did it. There's points in the NWO run that it was like, because he had the full beard and everything, but he really lost the stash for a bit. It's like it would never looked right. Some people's faces are just born to be stashed up like they are.
It really is. Like, beards and mustaches really are magical. I'm gonna be completely honest. They really, really, really are. They're like contouring for men. Even though men can totally contour, it's not a gated thing. But like it is. It's like facial hair in general on men is like contouring. Mm-hmm. It just does something to the face, and there are certain faces that look really, really, really good with it, and there are faces that don't. And like there are men that they need beards or mustaches and they just look amazing. They look fine without it, but like in terms of like the beard or the mustache, it just kicks it up a notch.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it just, some faces just need it.
They do. They really, really, really do. I'm not saying that like Hogan needed it, but like there are. They're just, it's like.
But like once you establish that's your look and then you try to get rid of it, it's weird.
It is weird. It's like Bray. Like when Wyndham was Husky Harris and he was so babyface and then he grew that beard and it just all worked.
Yeah, it just sometimes it works for people.
So, you know, it's a thing. But I'm glad he's keeping it up into his 80s. Good for him.
Good for him. But yeah, I saw him and I was like, oh. And then you go look at some people's hair who's just kind of, they haven't aged well. There are some players who you would think would have aged well, haven't. Yeah, it's a trip. But yeah, so that's on Netflix. So if you missed it, you can go back and watch it on Netflix. Anyway. Let's get into some of the news this week.
It is a light news week, everybody. So huzzah. We're not going to be doing a ton of news, but still, let's talk about it. So there is a road to the Royal Rumble. It's going to be your European tour in 2027. WWE starting in January is going to kick it off in Belgium. They're going to Poland, which is actually really cool. They don't go to Poland, I think, ever. So that's awesome that they're going there. They're going to Amsterdam on the 17th, Glasgow on the 18th, Manchester on the 22nd, Stockholm, Sweden on the 23rd, Budapest, Hungary on the 24th, which again, I don't think they go to Hungary a lot, if ever. I don't remember them going there a lot. And then they're going to finish it off in Dublin on the 25th. So tickets are getting...
Which is the first time Raw's ever been there, I believe. In Dublin, they're doing a Raw.
I think so.
Yeah, so first ever Raw, first ever SmackDown in Belgium, first ever event in Poland. In Poland, same for a first ever WWE televised event at the Manchester's Co-op Live, which is the new building,
mm-hmm.
which is bigger. So yeah, Sweden for the first time in 8 years, Hungary for the first time in nearly a decade. So that's going to be they're going to go in different places, which means our content's going to change in January for a couple weeks. But that's okay. Changes every month here now anyhow, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's interesting. So they're ending it in January. That would make sense. So they're going to end in Dublin, because then they got to come back here for February. So they would still need another week. Yeah, so they'll finish up the Royal Rumble here in the States before they go to Rumble, probably on the 6th or 7th, whatever we thought it was. So it makes sense.
It does make sense. So go get your tickets. They should be on sale very soon. There is an exclusive pre-sale opportunity that you can register by visiting www.com/road-2-rumble-2027.
So
go get your tickets.
There's an exclusive pre-sale, so does that supersede the Club WWE pre-sale? Just
You're
asking.
I'm not going to ask questions.
I'm just asking the question. If there's an exclusive pre-sale, what happens to your Club WWE thing? Is this that does that because it's outside the States, so you don't have a Club WWE? Just asking the questions, so we don't have answers to. But you know, you would think if you're having a whole premium thing, they would get the first access. So maybe they get pre access, and this is just pre access. Just asking the question.
It's access to the. Free access to the I don't know. Anyway, you can see CM Punk, you can see Liv Morgan, Cody Rhodes, Seth freaking Rollins, The Vision, Rhea Ripley, which interesting that they're saying she's going to be back by then, Trick Williams, Becky Lynch, Finn Balor, Jey Uso, LA Knight, Obafemi, Gunther, Jay Cargill, and many more. So go get your pre-sale to the pre-sale to the whatever. I don't know. I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing. And on an exciting note, Zilla Fatu has joined WWE.
The bloodline continues to grow stronger. Umaga's kid has finally joined WWE. He made his debut this past Tuesday on NXT, which was a surprise. And it, what was very interesting about his debut, because he came in, did the attack, whatever. But you know, mm-hmm. every time, because they changed the names, they, oh my God, it's him. It's him. For him, it was, oh my God, it's Zilla Fatu. It's Zilla Fatu. It's Zilla Fatu. Clearly, he's going to be Zilla Fatu compared to Cruz Montana, who you got, it's a former TNA champion. He's here. So, at least we got, or when Evil debuted, they didn't say his name, but he appeared. But he's not Joe Hendry. Anyway, there was that.
There was that.
Okay, Chet. We used to do a thing here on the show called Tweet of the Week. While we're not bringing up Tweet of the Week, we're going to talk about tweet. So some dude decided to go out on Twitter and complain that Avery Styles was getting special treatment. And then AJ owned his ass on Twitter because apparently the kid, Avery, did not help up, set up, and take down the ring or put out the chairs because it's 2026 and you got to pay your dues that way. And then everybody on Twitter is like, well, he should do it. He should do it. He should have done it. None of the people complaining on Twitter beyond the first person are actually wrestlers. Just people on the internet complaining. And so this thing became this whole drag out thing. AJ's going back and forth with a dude on Twitter. And it's all because Natty put, it all started because Natty put over Avery's match on Twitter because she thought it was good. The two young kids having a really good match. She just put it over because that's Natty. She puts over what she likes and the people she likes, and she's building the future with the dungeon. So it's like, she's invested in the future of wrestling. So she just makes an innocent comment. This dude decides, I'm going to take this opportunity to like make a statement. And then he goes on this long diatribe about it and all these different things. AJ cooks him on Twitter, as the kids say. Then Natty has to make comments. It's like, guys, we spending 4 days, for all the things going on in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're spending 4 days to talk about a kid who now you're going to make his life even worse because now he's going to have to do it. So you're shaming him into do it. Like, great. Wonderful. You got your point across. But we're spending days of talking about this on Twitter. There's bigger things to talk about in the world. AJ's kid not putting up a few chairs or helping set up or take down the ring. Not the worst idea. Not the worst thing that's ever happened in professional wrestling. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm going to weigh in on this because this was the first... Tonight was the first time I heard of this. I had been off Twitter for like a bunch of days dealing with stuff, personal stuff. Everything's fine. Nothing's wrong. It's all fixed. But I have not been following wrestling Twitter at all for like 4 days. So I will agree with the point that traditionally the way you paid your dues in wrestling was you showed up early, you set up chairs, you helped set up the ring, you prepped the show. Right. That's how you cut your teeth. That's how you earn your dues. That's how you do all the things in professional wrestling, especially in the indies. And there are people on the indies that still expect newbies to do that. Right. Like, it's part of the code of wrestling. I understand why the guy was upset. My question to everybody, because I genuinely don't know what's going on with this, is, was Avery's help required? Because if the chairs were covered,
right? Huh? If it was covered, like,
why should he do anything? Like, that's my whole thing with it.
My other point was, did you ask him to do it?
Right? Like, I'm also of the mindset that when Natty was like, hey, you should have talked to him at the show instead of blasting him on Twitter, that's absolutely the correct thing to say. Because it's like, why didn't you say something to him? Why didn't you say, hey, do you mind helping to set up chairs? Do you mind helping break down or set up the ring? Like, he seems like a perfectly respectable stand-up boy. I'm sure he wouldn't have minded, and I'm sure his father wouldn't have minded. Because back in the day, that's what his father did.
And that was a point someone made, and it was a great point. His father did all this work, and the sacrifice his father made, the sacrifices his father made paid his dues by being away from his child. So that's why AJ is out here defending his kid.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, AJ has every right to defend his son. Now, I will say that AJ's sacrifices don't necessarily get his son out of doing the same work, but I would also argue that perhaps the business is a little bit different now than it was when AJ came in 20, 30 years ago. It's not this same business. And again, if the work is covered, if the work is being done and you're going to be in the way, why should you just stand there and do nothing? Because that's almost worse, right?
Yeah.
If you're just standing there while the work is being covered and there's nothing really for you to do, that's almost worse than just leaving. But again, it's like, I feel like this whole thing is unnecessary because the dude should have just addressed it with Avery at the show if he was that pissed about it. He should have never put him on blast on social, and none of this should have ever come up.
And that was the last comment AJ made about it was, although grateful for the opportunity, Yvette would have talked to him professionally, or at least face to face. Just, you know, talk to the dude at the show. You don't blast him on social.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, and here's the other side of this, right? Like, the dude made an offhanded comment. He took a shot. I'm sure he never expected this shit to blow up like it did, right?
No, but like, AJ's going to go out there and defend his kid, so.
But at the same time, like, it's like, basically everybody sucks in this situation, okay? I'm just going to say it. Everybody except for Natty sucks in this situation. Like, Natty's chill. Natty is, like, kind of the innocent party in a lot of this because she just made a very innocent comment about Avery's match, complimenting him, saying it was good, and this all kind of blew up. Like, the dude never should have gone on Twitter and put Avery on blast, right? He never should have done that. In the same token, AJ should have stayed out of it. I understand this is his son. He is his father. He's going to defend his child. But Avery is a grown-ass man, and Avery needs to fight his own fights. Now, if the guy took the shot at AJ and his son, that's a completely different thing. But, like, the guy taking a shot at Avery, and I don't even, you show me the tweet, and I'm trying to remember if he said Avery by name. I don't think he did. But it was in response to a post about Avery. Like, AJ should have just let sleeping dogs lie on that one. Right? Like, the guy's gonna, because here's the other side of it. That dude's not gonna, he's not gonna be the last person to take shots at AJ, at Avery, especially on Twitter or on social in general or in person or what have you. Avery needs to learn how to fight his own fights.
That's true.
And stand up for himself. Awesome. Like, I completely respect that AJ was being a dad.
Yes. One other thing about it. This dude who complained about it on Twitter could have walked up to AJ Styles at that show and said, "Hey, want to talk to your kid about, you know, paying his dues and did a face to face like that too?" Because AJ was there too. So yeah. So that's that. One other controversy.
Now this one I know about.
This one she knows about. Okay, so chat. Let's talk about how we set up a professional wrestling match. So in the middle of the ring, Chris Jericho has the Walls of Jericho, the Boston Crab locked in, and Kevin Knight is screaming for pain. And will he tap? Won't he tap? And then the spot is supposed to be Don Callis hits Chris Jericho in the head with a screwdriver, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are you supposed to do it when the guy's in the middle of the ring? Well, in Chris Jericho's mind, to save the spot, Don Callis, you came in the ring, realized, oh no, I shouldn't be in the ring. Quickly gets out of the ring. Chris Jericho then drags Kevin Knight to the opposite side of the ring so Don Callis could whack Jericho in the head with the screwdriver. Caught on camera. World could see it. Complete botch. It's terrible. There's so much blame. The blame is on the director. There's blame on Don Callis. I kind of think Chris Jericho was in the right because he was trying to save it. But Don went the wrong way. All Don had to do was go to the other side of the ring and it would have saved the segment. But no, Jericho, if the director cut away to a crowd shot or whatever, could have saved Jericho going, no, Don, no, no, Don, no, shaking his head and watching the crawl happen. It made it look so bad on television. But if the director cut away, you would have never known. Also, the live cam footage was terrible too.
The live cam footage was really bad.
No, not what it was on TV from fans. Fan cam footage?
No, that's worse. What I'm talking about. The fan cam image actually, the footage actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
This is another everybody sucks situation because I agree that Callis should have just come around and come at it from a different way and it would have been fine, but the truck should have also cut.
Yeah, cut away.
And I'm kind of wondering what the director was doing and more importantly, what they were doing in Gorilla, because we know that they're watching the show in Gorilla and somebody should have yelled out to the truck, cut away, cut away, cut away, switch camera. And nobody did it. And it might be that they couldn't do it fast enough, although they certainly had plenty of time to do it, given reaction time. Like, the fact that nobody cut that shot is a little weird. And I think, and like, here's the thing. Callis and Jericho and Knight is the other guy.
Kevin Knight, yeah.
Kevin Knight, I'm sorry, I don't know AEW. They don't know what's going on with the cameras. So they're doing what they can in the moment. So I don't blame them as much because they're just trying to do their jobs, right? And the spot is botched. So they're doing what they can to fix it. And we don't know who was in the wrong spot at the wrong time or whatever. I place the blame entirely on production because somebody either in the back in Gorilla or somebody in the truck or the director that's on the show watching the show should have said, switch the shot, switch the camera. The fact that they weren't switching the camera, or at the very least, because I think it was one of the handhelds, like,
yeah, it was the handheld. It was the ringside camera. But
like,
get the ringside camera,
like, turn the ringside camera away, put it on Callis, to at least not show Jericho shuffling. Like, the fact that
they zoomed in on the shuffling.
Yeah, they did.
Made it so bad. Like
which makes me wonder if it was intentional.
No, it wasn't. Because you saw it wasn't intentional.
But I don't know. Like, I'm trying to come up with a perfectly logical explanation as to why they would do such a thing. And that's the only thing I can think about, other than somebody screwed up. Or a lot of people screwed up. But, like, it feels like, oh, hey, we're going to show this really bad botch for whatever reasons. Like, I don't understand it. And this is not the first one. This is the second one in 2 weeks.
It happens all the time.
Who does their production? Is it still done out of Nashville? Who is
no.
it? Whose company?
It's former WWE people.
Oh.
It was like... It was, what's his, Kevin Dunn's replacement or whatever. Mike Mancini or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it's guys who know what they're doing.
Yeah, there's no excuse for what happened. Like, I understand it. Shit happens, and it's a heat of the moment thing. And somebody makes a bad call, but 2 weeks in a row, that I know about. Because the other really bad one was Mox getting into place for, I guess, like, I forget if it was a moonsault or a frog splash. It was something off the top. And they visibly showed Mox getting into place, rolling into ring and laying down and getting into place. And it's...
It's bad production. You just gotta cut to one of your camera crowd shots for 2 seconds.
Yeah, you cut to a crowd shot. You do, and it still looks bad to the people in the arena. But there's nothing you can do about that, because like, stuff like that happens at wrestling shows all the time. It really shouldn't, but it does, because it's all theater. It's all stage. They're more or less doing a very violent dance with each other, and that's really what it is. And sometimes stuff like that happens, right? Where somebody just rolls in, lays down, and gets in a spot. And it could be that somebody's out of place. It could be something else is going on. You don't really know in the moment, but it's, you see that and you're like, ooh. But yeah, like, it's the production issues.
It's gotta fix them. They gotta clean them up.
Yeah, you gotta tighten your ship up a little bit, because there for a while they were running on all cylinders and they were doing really good, and it seems like lately their production might be on a downturn a little bit. Now, granted, I do not watch AEW, so I can't speak to that on an authoritative level, but just the amount of botches that you hear about is kind of like crazy. So I don't know.
Anyway. Blame Brents.
Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Alrighty. God damn it, Brent. Chelsea Green is out with an orbital bone injury.
# blame Brent.
Yeah, it's not good. She broke her orbital bone. Shit happens, but man, timing of her becoming women's champion and breaking her face, not great.
I say this with love, with complete and utter love. That girl has some of the worst luck. when it comes to injuries, because this is not like just, and it's just random unfortunate injuries. Because what was it? She was doing, I think it was like when she was on Tough Enough or whatever, and she got injured.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really, really unfortunate for her. And like, that's kind of been the story of her career in WWE, is just she's suffered like really weird, random, unfortunate injuries. And I hate that for her, because I very much wanted her to be like, I think they're letting her keep the title.
Yeah, she'll probably wear the mask and wrestle in a few weeks.
By the way, I just need to say this, because I'm looking on their website. I don't know what Photoshop filters they're using or what they're doing to the profile pictures on some of these people, but y'all need to stop doing that, whatever that is, because like Chelsea doesn't look like Chelsea at all.
They do things? I don't know.
I don't know. It's what it is they're doing like a really high contrast.
Yeah.
And it's not doing nice things for certain people's faces. And that's part of the problem. And I don't know whether it's the lighting or whether they're actually like applying filters after the fact, but it's not doing kind things for people. So, you know, maybe don't do that anymore. Because you look at like some of the older pictures and you can see like based on the lighting that like, yeah, they look really good. They look all right. And then it's like you look at some of the other like newer shots and you're like, whoa, it's like, what'd y'all do there? What'd you do? Right. Stop it. Just stop it. But anyway, you want to take a break?
Let's go to break.
Alrighty, when we come back, we're going to be talking all about Madden 27, the NFL edition. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. with the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a Kate Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back to talk all about Madden NFL 27.
Yes, chat, we're here. It's a Thursday, and it's Madden NFL season. As Madden NFL 27 from EA Sports is now available today for PS5, Xbox Series XS, the Nintendo Switch 2, and the PC. And you can use credit card right second in the Epic Game Store. I'm going to say Fortnite, when you buy Madden NFL 27, because hashtag epic partner. So, a month ago, we came out here and we talked about college football 27. Thanks to EA Sports, we got early access, and just like we got access for Madden NFL, I've been playing it the last week. It's a lot of fun. It's Madden. But last month, we came out here, we talked about college football 27 and how they added some the new controllers set up for the defense and the offense of how to simplify the commands and change your coverages and stuff. Well, they brought those mechanics over to Madden as well, which I kind of figured based on, you know, if one game is doing it, the other would, and the game, and so they brought them over here, which is a good change for Madden as well. It's the same simplified setup. It's easy to get to set your defense and change like your substitution patterns or your coverage patterns, whether you want to get your team a little bit more aggressive or kind of play back and all those different things. It's easier controls than it was before. One thing noticed about those controls and the substitution is that, which we're going to talk about in a bit, there's this, especially in franchise mode, where the coaches can give you opinions on what's going on and how to change your offense or defense. It's like, hey, take notice of there's more people in the box. Maybe you should change it to a pass. Or maybe you should change, you know, you see this coverage, you change it to a run. Or you notice what they're doing and you change your coverage. So there's coaches tips that throw out where it's like an easy, you hold X for the Xbox controller and you can change, it helps you change it. So you don't have to, it's simplified for the someone new to the game or never played the game before. But where it's like, hey, there's coaches tips and they can help change it. You don't always have to listen, but sometimes it's a pretty good thing to do. One thing I also noticed was, running in the game feels a bit more smooth when you get through hole. It's like there's more freedom in the movement. With the movement, it's the best way to describe it. Like, you know, it's not as blocky or you're just stuck to a pattern. It's like if you can get out and get going, you're gonna be good. They've noticeably changed some stuff. You can tell with a lot of things they've done. Basically, the way it feels, they've updated their AI technology for the game.
Okay.
Because it's a little bit more difficult. Like when you turn up the difficulty, the computer, the AI respond differently now. They play more realistic because they're feeding in, like, examples. Basically, they're using more AI technology for certain situations. They would do this, taking it based on what coaches have called in the league before, so you can kind of tell there's an actual difference to the way games are called on the computer side of things. Another big change is the hot and cold system. If your player gets on a streak, they can become very unstoppable for a while. Like, if you can get, like, a good running back going, like Barkley, he'll just mow through the competition. If he start okay. once you get him on a roll, or if your quarterback is playing well, like, or receiver's playing well, or a defensive lineman or whoever, like, they're getting through, like, the lineman's getting through and getting sack after sack, it's like, you'll notice they're getting hotter. But if you get cold, ooh, you don't want that. Because then you start missing.
Is it a bit frigid?
You guys, you start missing some throws, or you get stopped for a yard, or go boop. It plays a big factor. So my advice, people playing the game, don't let your quarterback get cold, because if you start missing some throws and he starts to get cold, all the momentum you're building go downhill. Mm-hmm. Which momentum plays a big factor in it as well.
Right.
They've updated the passing controls. There's a new meter system, and there's some fine tuning mechanics with it where you can do some pinpoint throws and stuff, which has been a nice change. And the one thing I've been asking for 3 years now, I think, has finally arrived. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what is it?
So we talked about it when we were talking about college football, when I mentioned there's a quarterback sneak meter that they brought into college football 27. The tush push is here. Finally, after it's peaked in the NFL, it's made its way to Madden NFL 27 using that same meter system. If you don't get in the green, you're not going anywhere. So always get in the green. You will get the yard or two that you're missing with the tush push. So that is the key point with that. But it's finally in the game. Surprised it finally made it. I thought it would have made it last game.
It is a little shocking, especially given how popular it was, that they didn't jump on that, but to each their own, I guess.
I think it was if they kept the same system where quarterback sneak was very easy, right? You just hit the button and they just go. 9 times out of 10, you got it. This, they had to create a system, and probably they spent a couple of years trying to figure out the best way to do it system-wise, right, with the meter. And now that the meter's in and they've changed quarterback sneaks in general, they finally got in the game. So thankfully, the NFL has not banned the tush push, and it's here to stay for now, and it's in Madden NFL 27. Another thing, home field. So for a long time, they've been building this whole thing where home field matters in the game, and it does. It used to have the shaky, squiggly lines where it confused your, and the screen would shake. I hated that. I hate when the screen shakes. There's no need for screen shaking. But now they've reinvented the home field advantage. One, you see the decibel level of the crowd. So if you're in a stadium like in Carolina, you're probably not as loud. But if you're in the Link or you're in Georgia or wherever, the crowd's going to get louder and louder, and the decibels get higher, especially if you're doing well. The crowd's into it, and they'll go, it will really pop. So there's a decibel meter that pops up. But now it shows different plays when you're looking for the play, when you in game, it will go flip back and forth between different plays. So instead of the squiggles, it's like, hey, this could be the call you made, or was it? Or you can't see which the control was for a receiver or what have you, which is a lot better than the squiggly shaky cam, because that was annoying.
Yeah, it sounds annoying.
So that they finally figured out a way we can still have home field advantage, but not nauseate the player playing the game with the shaking of the screen.
Let's not get car sick playing a video game. That's bad.
That is bad. All right. So now, presentation-wise, they've added time zones into the game. So a game at 1 o'clock on the East Coast will not look the same as a 1 o'clock game on the West Coast, or a 4 o'clock game, etc. That plays into all where the sun is, the shading and the lighting and everything like that. So you notice a difference in time. And it doesn't, and it will slowly progress as the game goes on. Before it was once a quarter ended, you would see the change and whatever. But as the game actually goes now, when the sun shades and goes in and out and stuff like that, there's dynamic lighting, dynamic weather that you could see the time and day matters in the game, and it will change how you see things. Like if it's raining, it no longer just rains and then stops. It comes and goes with dynamic rain. Same with snow. It's dynamic snow where it starts and stops and starts and stops. We're watching on the Twitch player here, twitch.tv/WTLive. where we're showing gameplay of the of Madden NFL 27, where we're playing the snow game. This is just full on snow. You can see the players slipping a little bit. It plays into it. They've also finally, after all these years, added full on themes for holiday events. So like, cause for real, for a while, NFL was just on Sundays and Mondays and, you know, Thanksgiving. Now we're on Christmas and New Year's and all these different holidays. So they have visuals to show, hey, this is Halloween. So the colors are different. Different graphics. Christmas has different graphics. Thanksgiving does, and even has the turducken that you eat at the end of the game.
Let's go turducken!
So that's there. The NFL coordinators are involved now, so you have offensive and defensive coordinators. A lot of them are in the game that are actually, instead of generic coordinator A and B, it's actual people. They've updated the stadiums. You got the new Bills Stadium that's debuting this year. They got the Melbourne Stadium. The cricket building that they're playing the first game of the season in is in the game as well. You can actually see the penalty flag be thrown on the ground in real time now. Not just, hey, penalty happened. You actually see the flag. So that was a fun change. Visually wise, like I had a couple incidents where, you know, how you go, you get tackled out of bounds on the outside and you can actually see like the dust come up from the chalk or the snow or the wet, whatever, off the sideline, which was a nice change.
That's pretty cool.
We got more modern TD celebrations. And overall, like, they changed the layout of the menu. It's more sleek, especially for franchise mode. It works really well. They've made some good quality of life changes. Superstar mode, which is your career mode. They've added the tight end, the edge rusher, and the free safety, just like they did in college football. So that's there. But they've added a new system for categories for you. Your core, your mental, your physical, your specialty, and even X Factor, how to rank up your character. In superstar mode, you go through the draft process, etc., and try to make the team. Ultimate team has stayed pretty much the same, but they've added more flexibility to different teams. If you're the person like the rip the packs and stuff, that's the mode for you. But where the most change happened was franchise mode.
Yeah.
We got more AI logic. They make smarter decisions by the AI teams, as we talked about, like we're just playing the game. But for drafting players, trading players, all the things, the AI has improved. There's a whole new visual presentation for like breaking news that shows up for big moments. Like you have Scott Hansen chime in. There was a big trade, or this was a big signing that had happened, which we'll get into the signings here in a second. As mentioned, there's the coach mode where we talked about the in-game coach, but there's also a mode where you could just pick the plays and watch it play out. So kind of simulation mode, but not full-on simulation. So you could just be the coach and call the play and see if it works or not, which is a nice change. But where they made some changes is in the franchise mode is what? One, there's a new free agency window because, you know, free agency is a big, you know, social event, television event where, hey, all the big signings are going to happen during this day and this day. It used to be like, hey, you have like 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it was to sign free agents. So you sign, you know, you wait out the process. Now it's real-time signings. Like, you have a 10-hour window, get all your signings in. It's not an actual 10 hours, but the process is quicker, it's faster. You don't have to simulate to get, hey, you finally signed someone. It's like, hey, you negotiate with them, and you wait to see how it plays out. But contract negotiations have completely changed. Before it was like, hey, this is what I'm offering. You want it or not, right? Simple. So either they accept it or reject it. Now we go back and forth. Like, hey, I'm offering you this, but I want this, and this is what I'm leaning towards, and this is what I'm thinking of. Because there's a new DNA system where morale plays into it, and all these different factors where, hey, this person's loyal, but or this person's about the money, so it will change the way negotiations happen in the game. Which, like, the whole process of signing, re-signing talent was just like, all right, their window's up. It's like, hey, you want to sign them? Yes, no, whatever. It became redundant and it needed an update. This was a really good update with, hey, you're actually going through a negotiation with a player, and if you kind of piss them off, their morale will go down. And that happens with how they play in the game as well. Like, if they're having bad games, their morale dips. So you want to make sure morale stays high. Like, if you're winning, if you're on a losing streak and your team kind of dips, your morale's going to go down and they're not going to be happy and they won't play as well. So the new DNA system, really well done. And if your player struggles, say you're throwing a bunch of interceptions or a bunch of your running back has a bunch of fumbles or whatever, they're going to struggle a bit. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have to set some goals with them. You're like, hey, you're having some bad stretch here. Well, here's, then there's like four different scenarios, like different goals they can hit. It's like, hey, just hit this and it should boost their morale. And if you hit it, your player kind of improves. If you miss, well, their morale kind of tanks and their struggles continue. And it really relies on whatever their specialty trait was. Also, make sure you keep an eye on the wear and tear of your players. They tweaked it somewhat. It's very impactful. Like, when you're doing your weekly trainings, kind of rest some of your players. Go to half pads, because if you do full pads every week, your player's going to wear down and you won't be able to use your prime running back in the big game because, well, they've been beat up from practice. So you kind of should pull it back just a little bit. So you got to do a lot of managing of your team, play it smart. But yeah, that those are some of the big changes from franchise mode, which is really good. It'll help with the longevity of the mode. It needed a refresh because it was playing a lot the same way over and over again. But now with the free agency window and doing some updates to that sort of thing and the strategies with the coaching, it will help the mode out big time. So it was a big improvement because they spent a while just refining core mechanics. Now they're hitting the modes. This was a big plus for me. Overall, the game plays really well. It feels a little bit more difficult, which is good. Like the momentum, if you're riding good momentum, your team's going to do really well. But if you're kind of, you know, lacking that momentum, you're going to struggle a bit. I like it. Mm-hmm. It's a good change for the game.
It sounds like a better challenge for the game overall.
Yeah, it does. The game feels a little bit more challenging than it has in a while, which is always good because if it's not a challenge, why are people going to play? I know I like a challenge in the game. I don't want something to be really easy. You kind of want that competitive challenge. And this year, it feels like it's really brought it because they've improved the AI logic. They've added different elements with the DNA systems and stuff like that to kind of improve upon the game. But yeah, Madden NFL 27 is out now. It's a really good play. Thanks to the folks at EA for giving early access to the game. I've been playing it all week. It's been a lot of fun. Make sure you go out and get it because it's available today. It's August 13th, so go out and get the game today. It's available for PlayStation 5, the Xbox Series S and X. It's available for Nintendo Switch 2 and also PC in the Epic Game Store. You can get it. You can use credit card Rocket Sock in there because hashtag Epic Partner. But go out and get the game today. Madden NFL 27. It's out now. Do the thing.
Go buy.
We're done.
We're done. Yeah. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
All right, chat. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's another edition of CB Radio. We're doing the grab bag segment. Random questions. We'll see how they react this Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. This Sunday, Lindsay comes to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yay.
It's the WTR fantasy draft with a brand new stipulation involved.
Oh no. What are you doing to us now?
We're cooking up something.
Oh god, I'm always scared when you say that.
So tune in for the draft this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, and then I think we're maybe playing a little Fortnite. We're working it out. Maybe before I'm playing Fortnite on stream after the draft. So tune in Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday, it's the Raw Post Show. Raw ends. We're live to talk about it. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of The Rack. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use career code RocketSock or
Lin's M-Word
in the Fortnite app shop or Epic Game Store. When you're in Fortnite, you buy your new battle passes next week or and your stuff. Or buy Madden NFL 27. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. And, you know, as we sign off with Madden, where the Falcons look like they're getting their asses whooped in the snow by the Eagles. Yeah, this is where I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to The Rack. We will see you technically on Sunday, but definitely next week. Bye!
wildtalkradio.com.